Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talking Steelers Football. I'm Bob Labriola, joined as always by Mike Pursuta of the DVE Morning Show and Steelers.com. Later tonight, Steelers host the AFC North division leading Cincinnati Bengals, comfortably leading the AFC North by two games with three to play. Cincinnati Bengals, you know, we saw this team second week of the season at Paul Brown Stadium. Since then, they have lost defensive tackle Geno Atkins, defensive end Robert Gethers, safety Taylor Mays, cornerback Leon Hall. All of those guys are on IR. And then also this week, today, they will be playing without starting cornerback Terrence Newman. They're still in the top 10 in the NFL in just about every real defensive category there is.
Yeah, and they lost their left guard, Clint Bowling.
Yes.
Bowling.
He's no
out
W.
He's out for the season. And Kevin Zeitler, the other guard, has missed the last three games. And all they've done the past two games without their two starting guards is rack up their two highest rushing totals of the season. They have been resourceful. They have been resilient. Really, on all three sides of the ball, because they made some big special teams plays as well. Three block kicks, a couple of game-winning field goals, either in overtime or on the last play of regulation. It's been a very solid season and one in which the Bengals have done what you like to see your team do. They've overcome a little adversity and kind of come together as a group, and they've gotten better as the season has progressed.
Finding ways to win, novel concept. Yeah, I mean, something we're not seeing a lot of here in Pittsburgh, but it's something that, you know, when the Steelers are good, it is a hallmark of the Steelers' good teams. And, you know, the Bengals, you know, you and I kicked this around on this week's edition of Agree to Disagree. You know, the Bengals are, in my opinion, the owners of the AFC North. And by that, I mean they are the best team. They have the best record this year, which to me is different than being the best team. They are also the best team. And the Bengals are doing it with grit, toughness, and, as I said, finding ways to win games. I mean, you know, your favorite example, I think, of that has become my favorite example of that, the game in San Diego.
Yes.
The fourth quarter in San Diego. In fact, inside 5 minutes of that game in San Diego, where Cincinnati had just gone, was in San Diego was the game against the Chargers team that at that time, that game was played December 1st. As December started, the Chargers were kind of that team that everybody was looking at, how they were playing to that point, who they had left on their schedule, and everybody's thinking, this is going to end up being a playoff team. Cincinnati went out there and just slapped them around a little bit.
Yeah, and closed it out after San Diego pulled within a touchdown the last 5 minutes
right.
You referenced. 17-10, Bengals get the ball back, threw one pass, and then ran it eight consecutive times. And the only reason they didn't run it a ninth consecutive time was it was time to take a knee by then. The game was over. They just choked it out. Bengals and Steelers have one thing in common, Lab. Neither team has had a 100-yard rusher this season. But the two-headed monster the Bengals have at running back, the law firm Ben Jarvis Green Ellis and rookie Gio Bernard, both of those guys are over 600 yards. They're over 1,200 yards combined, and they have combined for 10 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, and Bernard also has 403 yards receiving and three more touchdowns. That way, you know, this guy is a he has been a big-time player and a huge acquisition for this team. You know, let's stick with the offense a little bit. We touched on the line play, which has been good despite having had to overcome some things. You know, when you think about the Dolphins, when you think about the Bengals offense, you know, A.J. Green, he is their all-world player. He is their difference maker. You know, he has 1,175 yards receiving already and eight touchdowns, but I'm here to tell you, if you don't stop those two running backs, they won't throw the ball a whole lot. And then if they don't throw the ball a whole lot, you're not able to take advantage of what I think is the Bengals' number one offensive weakness, maybe, which is Andy Dalton's tendency to turn the ball over.
Yeah, I would say, relatively speaking, he is their offensive weakness. Not that
he's awful.
I'm not here to bury Andy Dalton. He's still developing as a pro, and hey, he's putting some numbers up. I mean, he might set their touchdown pass record this year.
He's got 25 already.
He's over 3,000 yards passing three straight seasons. There's only one other guy that's done that in his first three seasons in the league. That's the great Peyton Manning. I think
Andy Dalton and Peyton Manning have won the same number of playoff games too. How many is that? Oh, that's right, none.
The other thing that impresses me about the Bengals is you mentioned Green, and he is clearly in the conversation as the best receiver in the league. He's on the short list.
Yes.
But they have five other guys who are either on pace or are almost on pace to catch 500 yards worth of passes this season. That would be six for the team. That's only been done one time in NFL history. That's the 2011 New Orleans Saints. But Bernard has a shot to get there. Tyler Eifert, their tight end that they drafted this year, has a chance to get there. Gresham, the other tight end, is in the mix. They've got receiving options beyond AJ. It is a multiple, diverse offense, and they like to play a physical game too. That D flies around. They gang tackle. They take the ball away. They pry it out. They pop it out. They got a lot going on right now.
Yeah, when you talk about versatile and diverse, I think that also describes their defensive line, even after Geno Atkins being lost and Robert Gethers being lost for the season. The Bengals still have five guys they play a 4-3, five defensive linemen who are – you know, you better be paying attention to them because, you know, the Bengals get after it. I mean, they will sack the quarterback. They have 36 sacks. They have 13 interceptions. Nobody has a lot of interceptions, but they have a bunch of guys who can make plays on the ball. And, Carlos Dunlap leads them with seven right now. Wallace Gilberry, I mean, he's a guy who is not a starter. They list him as an end, but they often rush him from the inside on passing situations. This guy's quick, and he gets after it.
Yeah, he's helping to alleviate the loss of Geno Atkins.
Right.
And they have another new defensive tackle, too. A guy named Harrison lines up there a lot now and rushes the passer as a down lineman or as an inside guy. And he gets held there just like he used to here, Bob, from what I've seen, and it still doesn't get called.
It's going to be an interesting game.
That would be some good advice for the Steelers.
Just grab him around.
Go ahead and just grab him around the neck because it didn't get called for X number of years here, and I haven't seen it called a lot this season either.
Yeah, James Harrison never gets a holding call at Heinz Field.
No.
It's going to be interesting. My suggestion to the Steelers would be no huddle. And, that doesn't necessarily mean hurry up, but no huddle. Try and, win the game with your offense, not necessarily by, scoring 50 points or trying to score 50 points. But I just don't have a lot of confidence in the Steelers' defense ability to shut down the Bengals. And so if the Steelers are going to leave Heinz Field tonight with a victory, I think it's going to be because their offense was, I won't say the dominant unit in the game, but the one that, had the most impact.
Maybe just a little more efficient than it's been. What do you think? Get to 24, 27 points. Should have a reasonable chance.
And hope that you do a better job stopping the run than you did against the Dolphins because – 28 points didn't get you the win in Miami or versus Miami. I don't know if that running game is going the way that it was going in San Diego, man, it's just mind numbing. I mean, it's like beating your head, against a wall or a rock. The Bengals, they'll just keep doing it. And, they play tough football, as we said, physical football. They are gritty. They don't beat themselves. They haven't.
You mentioned they're comfortable at 9-4 atop the division. If they gain any ground on Miami this weekend, they clinch the playoffs. If they gain any ground on Baltimore this weekend, they clinch the division. That's pretty comfortable.
And who knows, you know, with the injury to Rob Gronkowski, maybe that there's some seeding that the Bengals could improve upon.
One game behind the Patriots. With a head-to-head victory.
There you go. Okay, that'll do it for this edition of Talking Steelers Football. For Mike Pursuta, I'm Bob Labriola. We day. We day used to be.
Maybe again for one night. It's a great matchup.
Yeah, and it should be entertaining. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon.